In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. As a priest, one of the greatest blessings that I have is that I get to hear over and over again, almost every single week here at the Basilica, what is perhaps one of the most compelling and profound and comforting and maybe one of the most important scriptures in the entire Bible. And it comes from the gospel that we read at the end of every single baptism. And here at the Basilica, we are blessed to be witnesses of at least one baptism a week, but oftentimes several. And the verse that I'm talking about comes from the Gospel of St. Matthew, and it's from the very last chapter in that Gospel, and it's the very last thing that Jesus said to the 11 apostles before he was taken up into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father. It's called the Great Commission. Jesus said this, "Now go from here," to his 11 disciples, "and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And he said, "Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And I think the reason why I feel so blessed to be able to hear this verse at so many different baptisms is that it's a constant reminder to me of God's ultimate promise to each and every single one of us, that He is always with us and that He will continue to be with us always, even unto the end of the world. He's with us here at church. He's with us when we go to work. He's with us when we're driving in our car. He's with our children while they're at school and away at college. He is with us in our homes. He's with us when we travel with our family on vacation. He's with us always in our time of happiness, and He's with us always during our time of difficulty. His promise is that He will be with us always, even unto the end of the world. So that's a very powerful statement to reflect on, at least it is for me. And it's most likely one of the most comforting statements found within the pages of the entire Bible. God knows us, is what that means. And He promises to be with us, always. And as I was reading the gospel that was shared with you this morning in preparation for this sermon, I was reminded of this great promise. Because in the gospel, we heard the story of the day that Jesus got into a boat and He traveled across the Sea of Galilee from the west side of that lake to where He was teaching and healing people, all the way over to the east side, to the country that the gospel said is called the country of the Gadarenes. And it was there that Jesus healed a man who had many demons, the gospel said, by freeing that man from those demons and by sending them into a herd of swine, which ran down a cliff to the Sea of Galilee, where it says those swine drowned. But before Jesus freed that man from those demons, He did what seemed like a very strange thing first. Before healing that man of those demons, Jesus thought it was important, for some reason, to ask the man what his name was. I don't know if you caught that or not. He asked the man, "What is your name?" And the man said his name was Legion, because the gospel said he had many demons living within him. This word legion is a Latin word that means military unit of about 4,000 to 6,000 men. So the man was telling Jesus, there are a lot of demons. So why do you think, and why should we think, that it was important for Jesus to ask this man that simple question, what's your name? Because if God knows everything, and if he is always with us, then why would he have to ask the man this question, what's your name? He must have known. And the answer is a very simple one. Jesus wanted to make sure that the man knew who he had become. And the man answered correctly. He said, I'm Legion. He was basically saying, I'm not the man that I was created to be. But I am a man who has been overtaken by evil. A man who has lost his true identity. And so in response to this man's answer, God did free him once again. And the man was transformed, and he was set free of those demons. But as I was thinking about that question, I remembered that this isn't the first time in Scripture that God had asked that question to any individual before. And it was always asked right before some transformation in the person's life was to take place. If you remember in the Old Testament, Jacob was asked this very same question when God wrestled with him. Right before his name was changed from Jacob, which had become a name that was reflecting deception to the world. If you remember the story, he deceived his father. And his name was changed to Israel, because now Jacob had become a reflection that God prevails in the world. Because when we encounter God physically, it's God who can and will change our character. And he will change our identity. And he will set us free. Free to do what? Free to pursue the path of righteousness that he desires for us and that he gave to us from the beginning of time. And that's the Old Testament. So also in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, there was a man named Saul, who was a Roman citizen, and he was a persecutor of the Christians. And when he met God, his name was also changed from Saul to Paul. And we all know who Paul was. Because Saul was no more a persecutor of Christians, but after meeting God, he was now a devout defender of Christians and became a great defender of the Christian faith. And he wrote what is in the Bible more than half of the New Testament. God identified this man, Saul, and he called him by name. In the book of Acts, it says that God called out to Saul when he was walking, and he said, Saul, Saul. He knew him. He said, why are you persecuting me? Because according to Scripture, God knows each and every single one of us, and he calls us by name. We just need to be listening and be willing to respond. In Scripture, he also called Moses by name. In the encounter of Moses and that burning bush. And he knew the man Nathanael before he even met him. And he recognized him as the man who there is no deceit or there's no deception. And he knew everything about that Samaritan woman, Saint Photini, we know her as, when he met her at Jacob's well in Nablus. And he knew that one of his disciples, Judas, was going to betray him and deliver him up to be crucified. And that another one of his disciples, Peter, would deny him not once, not twice, but three times. And we know from Scripture that that event occurred outside the walls of Jerusalem. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God does indeed know us, and he calls us by name, and he will transform us when and if we are willing to humble ourselves and be willing to actually be transformed by him. Because our name means something. It's our name that defines us. And it's the priest that will come a few days later and bless that name that's given to him for that reason. It's our name that is a reflection of our character and how we are identified to the world around us. But often, for some reason, our name somehow takes on a different character than what God intended for us. And when that happens, as we heard in the gospel lesson this morning, it's comforting to know that God is always ready and he is always willing to transform us and to free us back into what we were created to be from the beginning, back into the character of what God intended for us when he formed us. Because God knows us, and he knows us in no other way than as his children. We are all children of God, whether those who want to believe it or not. We were all created in God's image and likeness. And our name should identify us to the world around us as children of God. So as we reflect on this gospel lesson this morning, and as we reflect on the meaning and on the intent of our own name, and we should do that from time to time, we should be ready to stand at all times and in every hour to answer for ourselves this one simple question: what is your name? And what is your name saying about you to the world around you, not only today and yesterday, but also tomorrow? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.